Shalom, Australia. Israel fired missiles at a military base near the Syrian city of Al-Kiswa, southwest of Damascus, reportedly destroying an arms depot overnight Friday-Saturday. Hezbollah reported that Israeli warplanes targeted an ammunition bunker belonging to the Syrian army. Other media outlets reported that the target was a military base that Iran is building in the area and that loud explosions were heard after the attack. In a speech for the Saban Forum, pre-taped on Thursday, a day before the strike, Prime Minister Netanyahu reiterated Israel's policy. "We will not allow a regime hell-bent on the annihilation of the Jewish state to entrench itself militarily in Syria." 19-year-old Ron Yitzhak Kokio of Tel Aviv was stabbed to death at a bus station in an apparent terror attack in the southern city of Arad on Thursday night. Kokia served in the Nahal Brigade, an infantry unit whose home base is located just outside Arad. He was posthumously promoted to sergeant. On Thursday night, police said officers were searching the area for the two assailants who fled the scene and they set up roadblocks and heightened security measures in the area. Helicopters were also taking part in the searches. Police were investigating the possibility that the soldier's weapon was stolen by the assailants. The sequence of events in the incident near the village of Kusra, south of Nablus, on Thursday, which included the killing of 48-year-old Mahmoud Zal Odeh, is not clear. The public has been presented with two different versions of events in which a great group of Israeli settlers, mostly children, came under attack outside a Palestinian village from a crowd of Palestinians. According to the IDF, the settlers were on a hike near the village when a group of Palestinian residents started throwing rocks at them. A settler, one of two armed escorts for the hike, took out his handgun and fired into the mob, killing one of the Palestinians. He claims it was out of self-defense. The Yesh Din Human Rights Organization said the slain Palestinian was working in his field when he was shot, and the mob only arrived at the scene later. The hikers came from the Esh Kodesh outpost and entered Palestinian farmland outside Kusra. Avraham Binyamin, a spokesperson for the Yitzhar settlement, said the hike was part of a bar mitzvah trip for one of the children. One of the Israeli escorts suffered a light head wound, another sustained an injury to one of his arms. During the clash, some of the hikers holed up in a cave south of Kusra. A video from the scene showed that their exit was blocked by a group of Palestinians. One of the children said a Palestinian man discharged pepper spray into the cave while they were inside it. The child, who gave an on-camera statement that was released by the Samaria Regional Council, said that a second group of Palestinians arrived at the entrance of the cave and helped drive back the initial group that was blocking their exit until the army arrived. The clash has exposed a deep divide in the Migdalim settlement between its original secular residents and a new group they call religious extremists. A group that has identified itself as the secular founders of the settlement that live in peace with our Arab neighbors has condemned the escort's decision to take the children through Kusra in a provocative manner and without permission from the army. They criticized the man who was acting as the leader and armed guard of the hike, who, according to the IDF's initial investigation, opened fire and killed Odeh. They wrote, "We fly the flag of tolerance, equality and reciprocity. This is how we have been and will continue to be in the future, and we condemn the attempt to transform Migdalim from a peace-seeking community to one of warmongers." Police are currently investigating the shooter and a second escort on suspicion of negligent manslaughter. Defense Minister Lieberman said on Friday that the Palestinians were trying to lynch the Jewish group and that the shots were fired in self-defense. Lawyers for the two men have denounced the police investigations as outrageous. The IDF released a statement saying that the organizers had not coordinated their trip with the army, as is generally done in the West Bank, in order to prevent violent clashes like the ones that transpired. Future visits to the area would only be possible with military accompaniment. Likud MK David Amsalem, the author of a bill that would bar police from recommending charges in criminal investigations, is pushing to fast-track the legislation and give it final approval by early this week, despite growing criticism of the measure as designed to shield Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu from possible criminal prosecution. The bill has widely been seen as an attempt by Likud lawmakers to shield Netanyahu from public fallout or possible prosecution should police find sufficient evidence against him in two ongoing corruption probes to warrant criminal charges by prosecutors. While police would be allowed to recommend charges to the prosecution in high-profile cases, including Netanyahu's, under a last-minute change to the bill, the recommendation would be kept secret on pain of jail time. Last night, thousands of protesters in Tel Aviv protested against the bill, calling themselves a march of shame, a pun on the gay march of pride. Yesh Atid leader Yair Lapid has vowed to challenge the law in the High Court. Israel will replace its ambassador to Jordan in an effort to alleviate tensions with Amman following a deadly July embassy compound shooting. Jordan, which signed a peace treaty with Israel in 1994, has prevented Israeli ambassador Enat Schlein from returning to her posting, along with the rest of the embassy staff, all of whom left the country following an episode when Israeli embassy guard Ziv Mo'al shot dead two Jordanians after allegedly being attacked by one of them. Schlein assumed her post in September 2015, meaning her three-year term is set to expire this upcoming summer anyway. A scheduled trip to the Czech Republic by Deputy Foreign Minister Tzipi Hotoveli was scrapped a week after she disparaged US jury in an interview in English. Hotoveli had been scheduled to leave for the Czech Republic on Wednesday. Hours before her departure, the Prime Minister's office contacted her and told her not to travel. Hotoveli's office says the trip has been postponed, not cancelled. Chairman of Yisrael Beiteinu's parliamentary group, Robert Ilatov, sent a message to coalition chairman David Bitan, notifying him that the party's members intend to break ranks with the coalition by voting against the supermarket bill that would grant Interior Minister Aryeh Deri authority to veto municipality bylaws and order mini-markets to be closed on Shabbat. This would lead to a coalition crisis. In other ongoing issues, members of the Panthers Disabled Advocacy Group continued their protests outside ministers' homes last week. At least 12 Haredim were arrested this week during violent protests against the requirement that they formally exempt themselves from the draft, and high school teachers continued their rolling strikes for higher wages. A spokesperson for the Israeli Chess Federation said on Tuesday that seven players had filed requests for visas to participate in the games to be held in Riyadh in December as part of the World Rapid and Blitz Chess Championships. Giorgio Macropoulos, deputy president of the World Chess Federation, said, "We're making a huge effort to assure that all players get their visas. Israel and Saudi Arabia have no official relations." And rumors abound that U.S. President Donald Trump will give a speech on Wednesday recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital. But the White House has not confirmed the story. A White House spokesman on Friday afternoon said the president has always said it's a matter of when, not if, the embassy will move to Jerusalem. The president is still considering his options, and we have nothing to announce. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.